On Midwest Week, a look at results in Illinois from the midterm election. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Brian Mackey, Statehouse reporter in Springfield for Illinois Public Radio. Looking first at the governor's race, Brian, were there any surprises there?
Not really. The polling had pretty much predicted the outcome of this race. J.B. Pritzker, the Democrat, won with about 54% of the vote. And it looks like Bruce Rauner got about 39% of the vote, so about 15 percentage points, which is a pretty huge margin of victory, particularly over an incumbent.
And is that what the polls predicted? I mean, not just the victory, but some sort of margin close to that?
It did. The polling I saw anywhere from 13 to 22% in the month leading up to the election, and that's about right. Interestingly, I guess if you want to say anything where the polling may have diverged slightly, although this is an arguable point, but Bruce Rauner's approval rating was below 30% leading up to the election, and yet he still got 39% of the vote, which I guess suggests that in the end, as we saw with the 2016 election, even if people do not approve of the job the person on their team is doing, party identity and polarization is now so strong that people will hold their nose and vote for their person anyway.
Okay, now there was a conservative candidate for governor. Has anyone figured that he took votes away from Bruce Rauner?
Yeah, so it's the, I always put that in air quotes, the quote-unquote conservative candidate, because there isn't much of a conservative party in Illinois. It was something that he and his allies, backers, came up with. He had been a member of the Republican Party, although one who was often at odds with Governor Rauner, particularly over issues regarding state employees who live in his district. Many of them do. Mm-hmm. He has a district just outside of Springfield. And this state senator, Sam McCann, ended up taking about 4 percentage points of the total vote. So it certainly wasn't enough that it, you know, threw the election to Pritzker or anything like that, but it was a place where if somebody really had a deep-seated feeling about an issue such as, for example, abortion, when there had signed legislation expanding access up to abortion through public funding for people on the Medicaid program and state and university, people on state and university employee insurance, then they had somewhere to go. A lot of conservatives were, who view the sort of right to life issue as very important to them, were very offended by the governor's actions, and this was a place to go. But ultimately, 4 percentage points wasn't even enough to get that party sort of. The big threshold in Illinois is 5%. If you can do that, then your party has a much easier time getting on the ballot for future elections because you are considered an established party. That didn't happen here.
And we talked a lot during the campaign about money, especially J.B. Pritzker's money. Does anyone say that helped him win, or was it just sort of a sideline and he would have won anyway?
I don't think you can say he would have won anyway. It's certainly $171.5 million of his own money. I think ultimately he ended up the total funding total for his campaign was $176 million at last check, and we won't have final numbers until January, really, when the next reports are due. But I mean, that is a huge record-shattering amount. No other individual has spent that much money on a governor's race in America in history. And so I think that he was so able to swamp his opponent with ads. It's difficult to think that the margin of victory, the 15 percentage point margin, at a time when people are so closely divided in this country, that was owing in part to his just dominance of the airwaves. Now, Governor Rauner certainly had a lot of his own money to spend, and he did, and was on the air as much, giving as much as he could, but the Pritzker campaign was able to outspend him significantly. It's interesting listening to Governor Rauner sort of complain about that because, of course, 4 years ago, he outspent then-Governor Pat Quinn 2-1. So I guess the turnabout is fair play.
Yes, irony in politics, how amazing. Another top race in the election this fall was for Attorney General of Illinois, and wasn't it supposed to be much closer than it was?
You know, that was the talking point we were hearing out of the Republican candidate's campaign going into the election. And ultimately, though, it was basically almost the same margin, or I should say the same vote total for Kwame Raoul, the Democratic candidate. He got 2.39 million votes. J.B. Pritzker, the governor, basically got 2.38 million votes, almost the same total. So it seems like if you voted for one, probably people voted for other. This is where I think you can see a difference, though, of that conservative candidate we mentioned a moment ago being in the race for governor, because the Republican opponent in the attorney general's race, Erica Herold, she got 43% of the vote, which was ahead of where Governor Rauner was, and the difference was about the amount of that conservative party candidate, 4 percentage points. So I'm throwing a lot of numbers out there, but this is one where, yes, I heard one political observer columnist say that was a pretty good sales job by the Herald campaign to get all the political cognoscente in the state thinking that the race was much closer than it turned out to actually be.
And so what about the General Assembly, Brian? Will it look much different next year than it has in the past couple of years?
It depends on which half of the General Assembly. The Senate is going to look pretty much the same. The Democrats increased what was already a supermajority for them. So it's going to be slightly more Democratic in terms of the overall vote count. On the House side, Democrats had a big night. And despite the unpopularity of House Speaker Michael Madigan, he's the only politician in Illinois who seems to be less popular than Governor Rauner, according to some polling I've seen, his Democrats have an even stronger supermajority than they had previously. Or I should say they had a majority previously. Now they will have a supermajority. And there are still a couple of races, I think three races overall, that are too close to call, one in the Senate, one in the House, both of those would go towards Democrat, and then another House race that seems to be leaning towards the Republican. But there are still a number of mail-in ballots, and they have until 2 weeks after Election Day to get all of those counted. So that's not decided yet. Where I do think, so Democrats are going to be in control. They were in control. That much is not going to be different. They will have even bigger majorities now, which will be important if they want to change the Constitution, which for, say, a graduated income tax. But the nature of the parties has changed a little bit as well. And that's that there are fewer downstate Democrats. And that has been true for the last couple election cycles. They've been picked off one, two, three at a time. And what that means is when Democrats are considering some gun control legislation, there is no longer going to be someone in the room in the Democratic caucus to say, hey, my constituents, you know, think guns are for hunting. They don't like these restrictions. And so the parties are going to be more ideologically uniform, right? You're not going to have the conservative Democrats that you used to have in these chambers because they're splitting off the way we've seen nationally.
And doesn't this mean, though, Brian, that the Democrats have pretty much no excuse for not dealing with Illinois' problems, especially financial?
You would think so. yeah. Although, you know, as I always say, one of the reasons that the Democrats have such big numbers is that despite Speaker Madigan's reputation for being very controlling and top-down, he has his members vote their districts. So if a Democrat comes from a suburban district that's kind of anti-tax, that person is not going to enthusiastically support tax increases. And that's one of the ways that Democrats have won, is that they have allowed this ideological diversity. Same thing had been on guns. If a Democrat came from an area where gun rights were valued, then they were going to vote against gun control legislation. And so that's why, just because they have these large majorities on paper, doesn't necessarily mean that they will do the most liberal thing you can imagine.